The scripture reading for this morning is from Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do not worry. You know, the funny thing is, those words in and of themselves make me worry. I hear them and I start to get worried about whether I worry too much. The thing about this passage is that it comes to us in the Sermon on the Mount, at a point when Jesus is trying to tell us exactly what it is that he is so concerned that we worry too much about. It comes right after the verse, "You cannot serve God and wealth." And so it is particularly money and possessions that Jesus wants us to stop worrying so much about. And if we're being honest, most of us do worry about whether what we have is going to be enough. Even when we realize how fortunate we are, it doesn't necessarily stop us from worrying. Do we have enough to buy Christmas presents? Enough to get kids through college? Enough to retire, enough for the proverbial rainy days, whenever they might show up. How do we free ourselves from the trap that is worrying about not having enough? Maybe there's another way at looking at the economy of life that we live here on earth in together. What if the way we measure what we have isn't in money at all? What if the way we measure what we have is in love? God's love is infinite. There's no scarcity there. No need to worry about whether God has enough love to go around, enough love to show up when we retire or experience some kind of rainy day. And what about the economy of love in our human view? Some years back, I remember watching a show called Growing Pains. Anybody remember that? Yes. So on that show, there were parents and three kids, and it was a comedy. And on one particular episode, the parents realized they were having another baby. And they decided to tell the children. And one of the children was noticeably not that happy about it. And when they talked and learned the reason. The reason was because she had learned fractions. And she said, well, before I had 1/3 of your love, and now I only get 1/4. And the parents explained to her that that's not how love works at all. that when this new human being came into their family, the love would be more, that it would be multiplied, that the love they had for each other would grow, that their hearts would get bigger. I think I remember that scene so much because it feels exactly like the way love seems to work to me. We don't divide ourselves when we love more people. We just grow bigger hearts. It is part of the design of what it means to be human. Humans made in the image of God. I have a cousin who lives in Davidson, South Carolina, across the street from the Presbyterian College there, and she sent me a picture of something in front of the Dickinson Pizza Company. It was a picture of what looked like a three-shelf bookcase, and there was a sign next to it that said, "Blessing Box." And the way this thing works is if you have something to bless someone else with, you leave it there. And if somebody needs the blessing, they take it. It's usually like cans of food or a t-shirt or a stuffed animal. Now, there's all kinds of things you can worry about if you think about something like that. There's going to be too much, or somebody's going to put something there that we don't want, or somebody will come and take it all. But it doesn't seem to be working that way. It seems to be just blessing people. Blessing the people who get what they need, and blessing the people who grow in generosity. Their hearts are getting bigger. Right now is a great time to advocate for a belief in the benefits of having bigger hearts. We look around, and it's easy to see scarcity. It's easy to see things to be negative about, even fearful or hopeless. We're in a time and place when someone, anyone, everyone needs to speak up on behalf of love. We don't need to buy into the dominant culture script that tells us to be afraid that we don't have enough. We are people who walk in the footsteps of the one who taught us to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. We are people who walk in the footsteps of the one who told us we need to seek first the kingdom of God. On the top of the to-do list of our lives is walking with Jesus, spreading the love that we have received everywhere, all the time, with all that we are. God's love in action. In the bulletin this morning is an insert that I want to invite you to take out now. It's blue. So Diana Butler Bass put together some verses and faith statements that she hoped would help us to find peace that passes understanding as we go through the next week. I like them because they invite us not to worry so much. I like it because I think they help us remember to have our hearts get bigger. I want to invite us to read it together, and if you find it a blessing, take it home to nourish you along your journey of being the love of God in action this week. I believe God creates the world and all therein good, even very good, no matter how far from that goodness human beings wander. I believe love casts out fear, and that living with compassion is the path to joy. I believe gratitude threads all of the connections in the web of life. I believe wisdom dwells among us, embodying both divine insight and human intellect. I believe hope banishes cynicism, always drawing us toward a creative future. I believe awe opens us to an awakened life that reaches out to the world to restore and save. I believe justice flows all around us like a healing river. I believe all shall be well. In Jesus' name, amen.